This is the Best Of Daily Devotion Series by Pastor Tim Dodson from Believers Church in Menominee, Wisconsin. For more information on Tim Dodson or Believers Church, visit believerstogether.com.
The Bible tells us that Jewish males were circumcised as a sign of the Jewish covenant with God. You can look into places like Genesis 17, 9 through 14, Deuteronomy 10, 16. Now with the death of Christ, circumcision as a ritual was no longer necessary. Now our commitment to God, according to Scripture, is written on our souls, not on our bodies. In baptism, we let God operate on our souls to put off the old nature and, of course, to usher in the new. We're in verse 11 of Colossians chapter 2 today. 11 of chapter 2, where Paul the Apostle, writing to the church in Colossae, says, "When you came to Christ, he set you free from your evil desires, not by a bodily operation of circumcision, but by a spiritual operation, the baptism of your souls." Now, as I said, circumcision, that was essentially an Old Testament religious rite for the Jewish people. Now, how is that showing up here in the New Testament in this Colossian letter? Well, first of all, what is circumcision? Well, what is it spiritually speaking? Spiritually speaking, circumcision to the Jewish people was a covenant. It was an agreement between God and the Jewish people, and it was given all the way back in the time of Abraham, back in Genesis 17. It was meant, then and forever, to be a physical sign of separation unto God. A physical sign of a spiritual separation unto God. It was ultimately to correspond, the physical that is, to a spiritual and mental separation also. And you see, therein lies the problem. For people went through the physical act both then and I think so often now in other spirit or physical acts that we attempt to replace the spirit with. And we do all of that because the physical act gets followed, but the spiritual rarely follows. In fact, circumcision for the Jew became quickly a point of elitism. It became a source of pride, something to be arrogant about. It became an element, then therefore, of prejudice and false supremacy over everyone else. Outward religious elements hold the same danger for us today. Come on, we can look the part. We can go through the motions of religion. We can all have the physical appearance of Christianity and still never change on the inside. What God wanted then, and certainly what he wants now, is a circumcision of the heart, meaning a cutting away of the flesh of your heart. You can read more about that in Romans 2, verses 28 through 29. We would use, in speaking of this application to our lives, we would use the word sanctification. Sanctification means set apart for God and set apart for his exclusive use. It means our completeness in Christ that is reflected herein, where Christ tells us we are in him whole. We have been given both the position as well as the power to walk a separated, sanctified life. In verse 12, Paul went on and says, "For in baptism you see how your old evil nature died with him," Jesus that is, "and was buried with him. And then when you come up out of death with him into new life because you trusted the word of the mighty God who raised Christ from the dead." So Paul, digging a little deeper into this picture, if you will, says baptism too is but a symbolic element of the new covenant of Jesus Christ. It is a physical act, but it is intended to be more than that. Baptism is intended to be an outward sign of an inward work, just like a circumcision was to be an outward sign of an inward work, a reflection of our heart's desire, both circumcision and baptism. It meant that we were sharing in his death, we were sharing in his resurrection, which was and is a new life. Now, the point really renders silly, by the way, the argument of what is proper baptism, because, I mean, depending on the church and denomination you belong to, maybe your church practices baptism by immersion and the next one by sprinkling or whatever. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 2. Tells us that the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, and in that passage it says they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So, and the children of Israel had a baptism experience as they passed through the sea with Moses in their run and escape from Egypt. Well, if you think about this, we know that the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea without getting a drop of water on them. The Bible says they crossed the sea on dry ground. So clearly no amount of water can bury a person in Christ and make alive in Christ. So it just the arguments that we fight are ridiculous. We so often say, hey, oh, you know, I've been baptized and sanctified. Well, let me ask you this question today. That's all well and fine. You've been baptized and you've been sanctified. However, have you been crucified?